What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
AdoptUSKids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, "That's rad." It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, "I totes love going to the mall with Becca." Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, "Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case."
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
For the years, you've really...
You're listening to pre-recorded or web.
Wisconsin, thank you for joining us with our last hour of the day.
Yeah,
on Wednesday, hump day, Greg Bach day.
I'm here.
We're having such a great time. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. And about a month ago, we had some celestial things happening as far as the blood moon, but then tonight there's another thing to look up into the sky, so long as the clouds clear. So we are welcoming back for this segment. I think it's been about a couple months since we had him on. The Milwaukee Public Museum Planetarium Director, Bob Bonadour, is here to tell us what we can see in the sky tonight. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you.
So what's happening tonight? What should we look forward to?
Well, we have the full moon tonight, and a little after 9 o'clock tonight, the moon is going to eclipse Mars, or pass in front of it. And it's kind of a rare event, and Mars will kind of slowly blink out after about 20, 30 seconds, and then an hour later, it'll pop back out on the other side of the moon. So there's an eclipse of M&M, moon and Mars.
Moon and Mars. So is it something, because I would be totally honest, if I looked up the sky, could we just normally see Mars?
Oh, yeah. Mars is very bright right now. It's also at opposition. It's just the brightest it can be. Right now, Mars is brighter than any nighttime star in the sky. Very bright. You'll see it real easy.
Oh, well, someone should point it out to me. It's because I don't know if I could recognize it. And so will it be obvious without having a telescope for someone to be able to watch this tonight, so long as the clouds clear?
It'll be fairly obvious. Mars will be very bright, but remember, the full moon is extremely bright.
Yeah.
So that will sort of dim Mars a little bit or give it really good competition, I should say. So it'll be a little difficult to see Mars, even though it's crazy bright. But if you got binoculars, it'll help, of course. But you should see it. I mean, it's just the full moon so bright.
And what time should people be on the lookout for it, for people who are interested?
It's 9:10 is when it disappears, 9:10. So I'm looking at the forecast, and it's kind of intermittent with clouds and stuff. So I don't know. It doesn't look real good, but you never know. So I know we got...
So when
anyway,
people,
Madison will be clear.
In Madison will be clear. All right, yeah, we'll drive to Madison for just to see the moon. And so, but if you do have a telescope, does it become a lot easier to cut through the clouds, or is it on days like this you're just of like out of luck?
No, the only thing that can penetrate through the clouds would be like a radio telescope, and then you don't see anything. But no, telescopes can't get through the clouds, so just cross your fingers. But anytime it's clear, they'll get out there. You don't have to wait for this event. Jupiter's out there, Saturn's out there, Mars will stay bright. Much to see any clear night.
Bob, I'm curious, in history, you know, people have been watching the skies for millennia. When earlier people noticed stuff like this happening, they must have just thought the world was ending.
Well, for some events, yeah, you're right, Jane. The biggest event where I actually felt it was a total solar eclipse about I saw my first one about 20-some years ago. And this when the sun was going out during the daytime. So the moon was slowly covering the sun. It got darker and darker. And then the door slammed shut, and the sun was gone. And I really was scared, in a sense. I mean, I knew what was happening, but I really, in a sense, could feel the world coming to an end and kind of related to those people a long time ago.
So this is, because then a month ago, it was the blood moon, right?
That was the lunar eclipse, right?
That was when the lunar moon eclipse. Passed. And it was was really red. It was I thought it was so cool because it was happening on Election Day. I was like, I don't know what this means as far as the correspondence of these things all happening on the same day. But I also did not wake up in time because I think it was like 4 a.m. that you had to get up and be able to watch that. But I'm assuming you got up to watch that.
I did, and it was kind of like forecast tonight. It was fairly cloudy, but I caught some great breaks and got some good pictures of our blood moon. So it appears a little more orange, but it's still cool.
When you were dating your wife, did you have a long explanation with her about I'm probably going to be getting up in the middle of the night for a long, long time to look at weird things?
Trust me, honey.
Yeah, she rolled her eyes a few times. No, she's been very supportive of my trips out into the night, and she'll stargaze with me from time to time. So it's a real joy.
And so, as a planetarium director, what's kind of like the priority, like the ranking list of the coolest things that happen in the sky that like you get the most excited for, down to like, it's fine.
Well, probably, like I mentioned, a total solar eclipse is number one by far. They're so rare and beautiful. But another one is a meteor shower, especially if you get away from streetlights. You just lie in a blanket or a lawn chair and just look up. And they really are fun to watch, especially if you get a meteor about 2-3 seconds long. And then I just saw one a month ago that exploded, which was just cool.
Whoa!
Yeah, you see the streak across the sky, and then you see kind of a boom, a flash, and it's the rock vaporizing all at once at the end, and it's really cool.
It's so cool.
That is really cool. And so we're talking to Bob Bonadour, who is the Milwaukee Public Museum Planetarium Director, and I guess I haven't seen any new updates, but how is construction or developments coming with the new Milwaukee Public Museum? When is the expected opening date for the new one?
The opening, we don't have an exact date, but the year is 2026. So,
okay, so it's a while off.
Two trips around the sun to go yet, but it's, we're moving with the architects and continue to plan for it, what type of planetarium we want, what type of exhibits, all that planning and working with the designers and the architects is going on, and it's been fun to figure out exactly what we want this to be. And we're really trying to connect with the people out there. We've had some focus groups and talking to people in terms of what they want for the museum. So, and we have a whole website, on our webpage, Future Museum. So please contact us if you have a concern, suggestion, idea, anything.
And that's npm.edu, right?
Yeah. And there'll be a thing for Future Museum link on there. Yep.
And so with the, like, on your wish list, as far as, like, if you could get everything you wanted, like, what has been the developments in, building a planetarium over, I'm sure, decades, as far as, like, what new fun stuff would you love to see in the new museum?
Oh, the resolution, if you will, and the contrast, the display of the night sky is just getting better and better all the time in the technology. I mean, you look at your scoreboards at your stadiums, right? They just keep getting better and better. And the planetarium simulation, the big dome, is getting better and better. And we'll just hold out to the last possible date and make our choice on the best system out there. And that's what I want, just because that's the whole idea, is to remind people that there's this incredible universe out there, and it's worth, of course, exploring at the planetarium, but it's worth exploring for real. And that's the whole point of the planetarium, is to get people excited about the universe.
Well, and I just think too, Bob, for young kids, maybe their first exposure, their first close look of what's going on in the sky, and that's how you hook new astronomers, and that's how you get kids interested in science, right?
That was my first exposure to that, was going to the planetarium.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, planetariums, it's a reminder. I mean, it's a reminder. I mean, nowadays, of course, in the big cities and even the small cities, it gets hard to see the night sky because of all our streetlights and so on. So the planetarium is a reminder. It's a push to get out there and make a night of it with family, friends, or a night on your own and just lie underneath the real stars. And you have to make the effort. You got to make the drive. Go to parks are good. State parks, county parks are great places to stargaze and just get out there.
And how often, Bob, do you feel, in doing your line of work and dedicating your career to looking at space, how often did you just feel so small? And it's just a constant reminder. Your job is basically a constant reminder of how big the universe is and how small we are.
We're small. You are correct. But, of course, we're, I would argue, very, very special. I mean, you know, everywhere, we just started looking for life in the universe, really. I mean, there's been a lot of studies on it, but we don't know if we're alone or not. And just the fact that we're here, we're part of it, this vast, incredibly enormous universe, we're part of it, I think is just extremely special. And does it make you feel small? It can, but that when it's part of us, I don't know. I think it's just really cool, and to think that we could have, you know, whatever you call it, other life forms out there, I think is that single would be the single biggest, most profound discovery ever made, if of course confirmed.
Yes.
I mean, Hollywood's discovered many aliens.
But, I'm not kidding you. It gets me so excited to listen to people talk about space. I could, if there was a space TikTok, like, app, period. Just space. Not just, like, a place in TikTok. I could be there all day, every day.
I'm sure there's a Reddit forum you could be a part of.
I'm not going there. That's weird. That place is weird.
Bob, you said you shared with us this really cool article, too, and we're not going to have time to get into the whole thing about what life is like on this space station.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've just got done working with two astronauts on a show we're producing here. And every time I talk to these astronauts, I mean, I just, of course, I try not to show my green envy face because I would love their job. So we decided to write an article about life in space, what it's like to be an astronaut. And, of course, it's not all just floating around and looking out the window, right, and looking at the Earth and the stars. They got to work. The space station is a science lab. There's plenty of things to do. So we just thought we would communicate to our museum members and everyone else what it's like to be an astronaut.
Well, we'll have to have you back and dive into that, because for now we have to let you go. But Milwaukee Public Museum Planetarium Director Bob Bonadour, we always love having you on the show. Check out the planetarium. Check out everything happening with the Milwaukee Public Museum at npm.edu. And we'll catch you next time. I'm looking forward to trying to see the eclipse tonight.
We should take a trip there.
We can. Thanks so much, Bob.
Sounds good. Love being with you.
You know, it's always funny whenever, I think I read this the last time Bob was on, but the quote of, you are a ghost driving a meat-covered skeleton made from stardust, riding a rock, floating through space.
Did Neil deGrasse Tyson say that?
Fear nothing. Probably.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that he would say. And so, but that's always, you know, the reminder of the...
That's what's so, like, feeling small is part of the awesomeness of it all. Like, it is truly, like, look at my face.
You're so happy right now.
I love the concept of space. I love everything about it. I truly do. It makes me so happy.
Do you have a telescope?
I don't. I should get one. Oh, I should ask one for Christmas.
Well, or your birthday that's on Monday.
It's on Monday. I did build the International Space Station Lego set, though. So
of course you did.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to take another break. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Day equals day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk.
A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 26 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 37. Chance for snow tomorrow night. Lows level off around 32. Cloudy skies expected. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Lighter, denier, doing anything to get your ass farther. Gaslighter, big timer. Repeating all of the mistakes of your father.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is Wednesday, so Greg Bach is here, Jane Madnair is here, Brooklyn Watts is here. And so, you know, we're in the last month of the year 2022. All of the lists are starting to come out. People are starting to be named as the people of 2022. The best inventions, the best records, the best of blah, 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 blah. The year in rewind. And it also means that both Oxford, the Oxford Dictionary and Merriam-Webster Dictionary, they always have their word of the year. And this year for Oxford, over 300,000 people cast their vote on what they thought was the word of the year. And it's the word or expression reflecting the ethos, mood, preoccupation of the last 12 months. And I was very concerned that out of the 300,000 votes, this is the word, because I literally had not heard of it until it was named the word of the year. So I am saying right now it should not be the word of the year when most people have not heard of this word. Jane, do you know what goblin mode is?
I have no idea.
I do.
Greg, do you know what goblin mode is?
It's what happens when I get some corn on the cob. Gobble, 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 gobble. Yeah.
Resident young person, Brooklyn, what is goblin mode?
I had not heard of this until today also.
Right?
Yeah. So.
Four generations of humans.
And somehow this word is the word of the year, according to Oxford Dictionary.
I feel like some pockets were lying, some shakes of hands were happening.
Yes, this is like FIFA and Qatar all over the game.
Ooh,
like
hot topic.
The goblin lobby?
So goblin mode, for anyone who is in our camp and does not know what this is and why it would win, is a slang term often used in the expressions of "am in goblin mode" or "to go goblin mode." And it is a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, or greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations. I've heard of villain era.
Right. That sounds like that.
I would call this.
So what is villain era?
I call this Trump
mode.
That's
like when you're just kind of, it's like it's very similar, but I feel like it's less like negative sounding. Like I feel like when people say they're in their villain era, it's like
Era is more about like reclaiming.
Yeah.
Like people who are people pleasers or trying to do, you know, they feel like they're underappreciated, and then all of a sudden they're in their villain era. This is also like TikTok, like slang stuff. But that feels more empowering than goblin mode.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I'm just going to sit in my little, I'm not going to take a shower. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to just binge Netflix and like 90 Day Fiance.
Guess who just watched all of YouTube? This goblin did.
And so, all right, so that's goblin mode. If you have heard of this before and you're in the small minority, obviously it's not a minority because people vote on this, but then rival dictionary, Merriam-Webster's word of the year is gaslighting.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Why even this year? Because I feel like the first time I ever heard of gaslighting was like 10 years ago.
I think because I feel like the term has been used so prevalently over the past two, especially I think that
there's a song about it now.
It comes from the movie Gaslight.
Yes.
But I feel like in the past year or two, it's just been used so much in conversation that it doesn't surprise me at all that that's the word of the year.
So this is, searches on the Merriam-Webster site spiked 1,740% in 2022. See, that feels like a more relevant way to vote or to decide a word for the year.
You get a query.
Like percentage of people looking up the definition of this word versus people are voting. I didn't know there was a vote. I would not have voted for Goblin like Pod.
Me either.
I would have. I'd like to see the amount of, like, what percentage of people looking the word up had used it already in a sentence to see if they used it correctly. Because you've been there where you're like, you say a word and you're like, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, did I say that right? I hope I said it right.
So how would you describe what gaslighting is? Because I don't think we actually put the definition out there.
I can tell you this because there's a phrase that's going around that's like a parody of Live, Laugh, Love. And it's gatekeep, girl boss, gaslight. So that's what I live by. I'm just kidding. I don't gaslight.
I'm gonna buy that at Target. I'm going to put that on a piece of of worn wood. And I'm going to put that right on my front door.
Worn wood.
Worn wood.
Driftwood?
No. A good piece of cedar or oak.
Ooh, a carve into it?
Ooh, some cherry. No, burn it. You brand it in. It's distressed wood. Reclaimed.
What is it again?
So, gaslighting?
We didn't give the definition of what gaslighting is. So go ahead.
Gaslighting is like when you are intentionally trying to make someone else feel mentally incompetent or crazy, or let's like, if I did something, like if I moved that cup and then you're like, Brooke, why'd you move that cup? And I'm like, I didn't move that cup, you did. Or like you're seeing things.
Yeah.
Like trying to make you feel like you're not all there.
To make people doubt their own beliefs.
Yeah.
There you go.
To question, am I going nuts?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I think the first time I ever heard of it was like largely in the context of romantic relationships. And I think it's often men to women.
Yeah.
And this trope of my crazy ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. and who, you know, instead of like, oh, she was trying to hold me accountable for my actions and I made her feel crazy and that she was overreacting. Yeah. And like, it's like the action of invalidating someone's experience or feelings.
But over time to make them doubt them even saying something. Like,
because that was the premise of the play.
Because in the play, in the movie, it's like he turned down the gaslight and she would be like, who turned that down? Nobody turned that down. It's the same way it's always been.
Yeah. And she starts questioning her sanity.
Yeah. So.
So there you go. There, those are your words of 2022. Goblin mode and gaslight.
Yeah.
Sorry. America.
Glad we could define gaslighting, but had no clue what goblin mode meant. Because that's just a derivation on beast mode then.
Oh. There's beast mode. Is that what it came from?
I mean, I don't know. There's beast mode.
I would have voted for the word slay, but that's fine.
All right. When we come back, what makes a good new holiday movie? We got the classics, but what makes a new one good? We would love to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Still sorry and there's still no apology.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Now, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
This is the story of a very special woman.
In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, sis, missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats, okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
What is dadication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Wisconsin, no matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. As always, we would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789, especially on this topic, because I feel like people might have strong opinions on this topic, which is what makes a good new holiday movie, Christmas movie, because Greg Bach is very excited about one that I am like, nah. So tell me why you are excited about this new movie.
I love the movie John Wick.
Okay.
And I love Christmas movies that are good. And putting a real, not some dude dressed up as Santa Claus, but actually Santa Claus as a person who takes vengeance on bad doers. Are you kidding me?
All right. So what's the movie?
It's called Violent Night. Starring one of the greatest living American actors right now, Mr. David Harbour from Stranger Things.
He's very good.
He is good.
Good on Stranger Things.
He's very good in every way. I just watched The Equalizer recently with Denzel Washington. Forgot he was in it. He's fantastic in that. Just check him out. He plays Santa Claus, and
so the premise is he's actually Santa. Yes. This is not a mall Santa.
Correct.
This is Santa that lives in the North Pole.
Correct.
Who fights bad guys.
And there's a group of ne'er-do-wells, crooks, good bandits, who are trying to
the
hold
a... The bandits?
The wet bandits. Come wet on, bandits. Get it right. They are holding a family hostage for their money, like a wealthy family. And Santa just happens to make his way into the house, and led by also great American actor John Leguizamo as like the chief bad guy. Santa is going to show them what happens to those who are on the naughty list.
So this is John Wick meets Santa Claus.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, exactly.
I'm thinking like Dexter Claus.
So is it rated R?
Yes. No. Good question.
Because I feel like if it's R, it automatically... I'm not saying it's not going to be a good movie, but is it going to be a good holiday movie? Because what are the ingredients?
Well, the greatest holiday movie ever is Die Hard, and that's rated R. It's rated R.
That is debatable.
Okay. No, it's not. You're wrong.
But no, this is the debate. The debate is what makes it a holiday movie.
I feel like with regard to Die Hard, you've got yourself the Christmas setting. You've got Christmas music. You've got Christmas attitude of helping others. And there's a part where a guy has ho, ho, ho written on his shirt in his own blood. So what's there to discuss, Kristen?
I feel like a good holiday movie has to make you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside when you watch it. And so thus the like action, killing, death.
Yeah.
Even when it's the bad guy. Immediately says this could be a good movie, but it is not necessarily a good holiday movie.
So the idea of someone walking in and protecting you from wrongdoers doesn't make you feel good inside?
Not in the way that A Christmas Carol does.
It's the way you were raised, I guess. Whatever.
Brooklyn, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Christmas with the Cranks. So good.
That's one you don't hear often.
Book.
Oh,
wait, I think it was originally a book. No, it was originally a book. I think I read that. I don't know if it was called the same thing. It's about the parents who are going to go on a cruise and they're not doing Christmas. And then it's like their guilt over not doing Christmas, right?
And then like the neighborhood's like really mad at them because they're not putting up like lights and stuff. And then they're like, the neighborhood's like terrorizing them. Because
it's Jamie Lee Curtis. Who else is the...
Tim Allen.
He's on a lot of Christmas movies. Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I love Scrooged.
Yeah. That's what you play, too. That song from Scrooged. One that gets slept on a lot, and I feel like it could be an argument whether it is or isn't, but I feel like Trading Places is a great Christmas movie. It's a holiday movie. Takes place over Christmas and New Year's. Eddie Murphy. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jane's saying no.
No. And I love that movie.
I love that movie, too.
No.
I feel like just because it's
Dan Aykroyd plays Santa Claus.
Just because it takes place in December and with the backdrop of the holidays.
You're telling me that
doesn't make it a holiday
movie.
You're
telling me Lethal Weapon 1 isn't a Christmas movie? It takes place during Christmas. Shane Black always makes Iron Man 3 takes place during Christmas. Christmas movie.
No, you're losing this battle. No one agrees with you right now.
I love Iron Man. That is not.
I'm telling you right now, the younger generation doesn't get Christmas. This is a war on Christmas. Why can't we just say Merry Violent Christmas anymore, huh?
Because then the other new Christmas movie that I have not seen yet.
Oh, you're going to love it.
But I saw my aunt wrote on Facebook the other week, or I think this week, that they watch it. And my uncle, I guess, is not usually a fan of musicals at all. Mm-hmm. But she said she was clapping by the end of this movie. Everyone was feeling good. Everyone loved it. And that movie is Spirited.
Yes.
Starring Ryan Reynolds.
And
Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it.
Yes, I have.
So is this more of a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Okay. Which one do you feel like is more Christmassy? Yeah, I guess I would say
because it is a Christmas Carol story, Spirited is. Because that's what the movie
is. The premise is.
Yeah. But I will say what I love about Spirited is it takes a Christmas Carol premise, that good broth, and you expand the story of the certain characters who are in the movie. And there's some spoilers that I'm not going to give away, but it expands character stories. It expands out to a really cool idea of almost like a universe. And it is beautiful. And I'm also not really big on musicals. Like, I like some songs, but I don't like... song start to finish in a movie, but this was 2 hours and 7 minutes of pure holiday joy. Very fun. You will shed a tear. And it's very fun to watch someone tell Ryan Reynolds to shut up. Because I love Ryan Reynolds, but I feel like Blake Lively and Will Ferrell, the only two people apparently on Earth who can tell him to shut up.
So I guess that's my criteria, because this comes back to my question, which again, if you have opinions on this, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Because I think, so 844-967-2789, what is the criteria?
Party.
Yes. What is the criteria for a good new, because we have the classics, a good new Christmas movie? I think my criteria is that you have to get choked up at one point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you know, you take a movie like I'll just use the original Santa Claus because I think it's the best one.
The Tim Allen one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That one is a beautiful movie from start to finish because it has all the things. It has the Christmas cheer. It has the comedy. It has those moments of poignancy. And at the end, you're like, oh.
And everyone learned a lesson.
Exactly. Tim Allen didn't learn those lessons on Twitter, but that's not the point. The point is, I think to be a great holiday Christmas movie, whatever you want to call it, has to have all of those pieces in the recipe. Mm. And that's why Die Hard's so amazing.
Do you ever get choked up during Die Hard?
Yes, I do.
When
don't I get choked up?
What part puts a tear in your eye of Die Hard?
I would say at the end when John and Holly Gennaro McLean kiss after he has saved her life.
You cry.
I tear up. You said tear up. I didn't say cry. You didn't. I said tear up. It's a moment of joy and happiness, togetherness, unity, holiday cheer.
I think you're exaggerating. I don't think you actually cheer up at that part of the movie.
Whatever. Have you ever seen me watch a Harry Potter trailer? I tear up a lot.
Jay, what do you think? What do you think was the criteria for a net new holiday movie to be good?
I think it's redemption.
Oh.
I think it's about redemption.
That's good.
And I did watch Spirited.
Oh, you did?
There are some truly hilarious, some really hilarious moments. The Jacob Marley scene. There's some really, really wonderful moments, but there, and Greg's going to hate me for this, but
dun, dun, dun.
There's some inherent cynicism in this version that I found a little off-putting.
Oh. Is it a new Christmas movie?
I enjoyed it, but that is not going to be on my annual. We have to see this. Because this is Christmas for me.
Do you not feel like Scrooged has inherent cynicism in it, though?
It I don't know. There was something about the whole marketing aspect of Spirited. And
so you're talking about from a business point of view.
I don't know. I just didn't have the same warmth for me.
I will say that I think that like when you talk about movies like the Santa Claus or Scrooged, or any other or Christmas of the Cranks, I feel like now when Christmas, because they come out so infrequently on a big scale, mm-hmm. like you have your Hallmark holiday movies and everything, but I feel like, Jane, I can see what you're saying there, that the marketing behind that was to try to push it right up there in the top five pantheon of greatest Christmas movies ever, when really a Christmas movie, like a lot of great movies they have to get shinier over time. They have to really, you know, in 10 years, 15 years time, when little kids are saying, I love this movie, that's when the real test shows. You can't force greatness.
Because I would say we're there with Elf.
Oh,
like Elf is
so
one of
good.
My, I would say, probably top
my
three.
My mother and my wife hate that movie.
Why?
I don't know, and I won't bring it up because it only makes me more angry when I think about it.
Because I watched Elf last year. And I was just like, that stands up. It's what we said.
Yes.
You tear up a little bit.
Yep.
There's redemption.
Yep.
It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, not only did we watch it, but we also watched like the making of it. I forgot what that series is, if it's on Netflix, but they talked about the making of
Elf. The movies that made us.
Yeah. And so we watched that last year and they were talking about like
Elf Control,
the cinematography and like the tricks they had to play to make, James Caan looked tiny and like
Bob Newhart
looked tiny and stuff
American
like that.
Treasure.
Like all of that. And so I feel like that, and it was not a movie that like they wanted to make. And so even the making of it is a redemption story of like, I promise you this will work. And it did.
And Will Ferrell turned down like tons of money for a sequel, which makes me so happy.
He's like, it's perfect as is.
Yeah. And the thing I love about it is the same reason why I love the movie, the Lego movie, is that you have a movie like Shrek or Shrek 2 where it has two lines of humor, a line of humor for kids and then a line of humor for adults, a little more risque, a little more naughty. Like there are jokes in there that only adults will get because they have to take their kids to watch it. Lego Movie and Elf, that is one through line of jokes, one through line of humor, one through line of inclusivity and its writing that everyone can enjoy. And so kids are going to love it because they're kids. Parents and adults are going to love it because it makes them feel like their kids again, laughing at silliness. I mean, when he eats the spaghetti with the syrup and the M&Ms, it's so funny. But it's not funny for adults and kids. It's funny for everybody.
Everyone. In the swirly twirly forest.
Don't eat don't eat candy on the bottom of things. It's not candy. Don't eat things off the bottom of chairs. It's not candy.
Not candy anymore.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we with our criteria? Redemption?
Die Hard.
It's...
Say it again.
Redemption?
Yeah.
A tear?
Die Hard.
Stands the test of time. So I guess, is it possible to be a new movie? Is it, if that's one of the criteria, it has to get shinier over time. Is there any chance of a new movie ever being a good holiday movie because it hasn't had the chance to stand the test of time?
But It's a Wonderful Life was not a hit.
No.
When it was released.
Nope.
Not for really? Not for decades.
It didn't become a hit until it started showing on television.
On Turner, probably yeah. Turner Classic Movies or TNT, and they ran it all the time. Mm-hmm. And
same with Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz wasn't a huge it wasn't a huge hit when it came out either.
Huh.
You know, I mean, it's just the thing. Yeah. So I think it has to withstand the test of time. It has to be a beloved movie, like where it just has that. It has that thing. It's it's that X factor, if you will. It just means something to you.
Mm. And Die Hard means something to you.
It really, actually does. It really does. And that's for and anyone who watched Moonlighting in the 80s understands what I'm talking about. And Brooke, Moonlighting was a show on TV back in the, first of all, TV was a thing that happened.
That used to have commercials on it.
Oh, huge,
you couldn't fast huge, forward.
Your parents used to tell you to go change the station.
There was one point that there weren't remotes. You actually had to get up and like change the station every time. Yeah, it was wild.
Sounds like a horror movie.
So as we explained to
Channel 98.
To the woman born in 2001.
On 2000.
Sorry.
Respect.
All right. Well, we have one more break, and we're going to talk to the founder and owner of Door County Candle, who is doing some incredible things for Ukraine. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
To really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
How is your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lowest level off around 26 overnight under overcast skies. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 37. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Barr. This is our last segment of the day. Oh. It always goes by so quickly, especially when Greg Bach is here on Wednesdays. But Jane, you said that we had one text message from our last conversation.
We did, about what makes a Christmas movie, from the 262. Thank you so much. If the movie works without the holiday, for instance, Die Hard, it is not a holiday movie. Elf doesn't work without Christmas. Trading Places does work without it.
I love that answer, 262.
That was my mom. I guarantee it was my mom. And she's out of my will. No more presents for her. I'm incensed. Christmas is over.
Well, if you are looking for a way to give back, pay it forward, help Ukraine, there is a Wisconsin-based company that can help you do that. Door County Candle Company, for the last 9 months, has been helping and sending funds to Ukraine through their candles. And I read about this in the Green Bay Gazette, Green Bay Press Gazette. And so to round out today's show and end on a high note, Christiana Trapani is here, who is the owner of Door County Candle Company. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
And so, how did you, I mean, I guess when you started this, it was, Ukraine was so much, I'm guessing it was when Ukraine was so much in the news, but you've kept it up. And so what, how much money have you been able to raise for this?
Yeah, so we are at $800,000 of a donation. And
that
we
is
are,
insane. That is so much money. That's a lot of candles.
It's a lot of candles. Yeah, when we launched it, so I'm Ukrainian and I have family in Ukraine. So I have a, you know, close ties. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'd love to raise, like, I said $5,000. And my mom, I remember, she's like, well, that's so much. And we'll, maybe we'll match you so you get there. And I'm like, well, thanks, Mom. Like, I appreciate it.
Sounds very Wisconsin. That's so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're at 800,000 now. We're getting ready for another donation. And we have the tin candles going on now, too.
So there's two. If I understand this correctly, there's buying a candle that sends money, but you're also sending candles because Ukraine needs light, right?
Yes. Yeah, so what we're doing, on Black Friday, we basically change it up with the Ukraine candle. So now if you buy a Ukraine candle, we send a candle to Ukraine, to families and people who don't have power and need light. We also have a Thank You Poland candle, which I'm thanking Poland for being wonderful allies. We're donating those profits to Razem, the nonprofit we're working with. And people also have the option, if they don't want a candle, they just want to help and send a candle, they can buy a candle, a tin candle on our site, and then we will ship that to Razem, and then Razem in New York will send it to Ukraine. And we have already, I think, close to like 4,000 tins to send to Ukraine.
So you're busy.
Yes, very busy.
Has this been a huge spike as far as like what your demand has typically been? Because when did you start the candle company, Door County Candle?
So actually, I bought the business last year in June. So I'm still kind of new in the business. So I bought it last year in June. And then in February, we launched the fundraiser. And typically, this candle company would make about 15,000 candles a year, like total. And we've already made and sent over 85,000 Ukraine candles. So it definitely, it broke some equipment of ours, and it definitely did.
Oh my gosh. And so, I mean, this has to be just overwhelming as far as what the support has been. And so is it just because of word of mouth, or how did it grow so much that your goal was 5,000 and you've hit over $800,000?
Yeah, it's incredible. So really, I posted a video on our Facebook in February when we launched it. And from there, it really grew. It grew very big. And then mid-March, we got picked up by World News of David Muir and PBS NewsHour.
Yep.
In the same week. So that really obviously helped a lot to get it out, to get the message out, and to get our mission out. So that helped a lot. And it kind of slowed down in like August and September. It wasn't as many Ukraine candles. But now with, you know, winter coming and their new tin initiative, it's definitely picked back up, which is amazing.
And so is your family that's still over there, are they doing okay?
Yeah, they, they're okay as far as,
yes,
you know, okay.
Obviously.
But they, yeah, I mean, they, my aunt, like 2 weeks ago was saying how the bombs were getting closer And my my cousin's wife, her family's from Poland, and they offered to take her to safety. She just had to get to Poland, but she said she was just too afraid to leave. So that's where the Thank You Poland candle yep. came from. But they're very strong, and they're, as all Ukrainians are, they're very strong. But yeah, I mean, it's just so hard, like, especially like hearing it, directly, like you see yeah. on the news, one thing, but when you hear it directly, it's from, you know, it's just so hard, but I'm happy that we can take that and channel it into something to help.
And honestly, this is such an incredible and so easy, right? Because it's being able to, I mean, the Thank You Poland candle. It's $30. Yeah. The send a candle to Ukraine. The tin candles $15. You know, and so it's such a small effort that's built up to be such a big impact. I can imagine.
It's so easy. I just bought a Ukraine candle right now, and I just bought a tin candle. So
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And so if you would like to buy any of these candles, either donate, help out, the website is doorcountycandle.com. Is there anything else you'd want people to know as far as the initiative, the project, the company?
Just thank you. I mean, all the candles make such a difference. And if they want to write a message to people in Ukraine, they can include it in the gift message. And we're actually handwriting all of those messages and putting them right on the tins to make sure that people can read them. And we're going to make it our goal to write messages of love to them. So yeah, thank you. It all makes a big difference. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Christiana, you guys are so busy. Did you have to like enlist your pets to help you make candles so you can keep up with all this demand?
Yeah, we're so grateful and lucky and blessed because we had like a huge community of support of volunteers comes like day one. Like we had 10 people come the first day we launched it and they're like, how can we help? I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I have no idea. Like what's going on? And since then, I mean, we've had volunteers come to clean candles, label candles, ship candles. It's like right now, we're shipping and three of the five, my mom's back there. She's there. She's here every day. And we have two other volunteers who are helping us pack and they just want to help. And it's amazing. We've had volunteers also fly in from Washington to come for the week and volunteer.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
People
amazing.
Are so wonderful.
Christiana Trepani, this is an incredible, incredible project and initiative, and you're helping so many people. And so thank you for everything that you do. Please go buy a candle, Door County Candle Company. We will link it in all of our stuff today. Thank you so much for joining us and telling and sharing your story.
I appreciate you all having me. Thank you.
Yep. Have a great day. And for us, that'll do it. That's our show for today, guys.
Come on.
Stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. But for us, we'll be back tomorrow. This has been Greg will not. But Jane and I will be here. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.